Acts 9, verses 15 to 16 read, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, for he, Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church, and as always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And not as always, but as often, we have with us Dan. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It really wouldn't be right for us to have our missionary, missions-focused podcast and not have you on, Dan. And obviously, missions is something that we're all interested in as leadership, and hopefully everybody in our church has an interest in, because it's just a part of being a Christian. And yet, God really has, I don't know if the word is gifted, but strengthened our brother Dan to have a real zeal and energy that I feel like buoys the rest of us up toward mission. So we've really appreciated that, Dan. So we had to catch you before you left for India to do missions. So there's that.
Well, you know, if I may inject something here. I am very thankful that our fellowship does indeed have, in various intensities, a passion, a desire, and encouragement for missionaries. In that, whenever there's a need, we find that people respond. It's not like we're clawing through the detritus of our garbage can trying to find a few extra pennies because there's a financial need. People respond, and for that, I'm very thankful.
Yeah. Yeah, and even, I mean, we've had some opportunities recently, and depending on when this is released, sorry, it's another late episode. That's completely my fault. But depending on when it's released, you know, Steve and Mary Davis are going to be here even this weekend. So if this is released before this weekend, this may be in hindsight or for, I don't know, just depends when it comes out. But having these opportunities that often you are facilitating for us to be able to have missionaries here, I feel like that we do have a very generous body, and there is something about when missionaries arrive or their needs are presented, you are right, people just jump onto that, which is hugely encouraging. Well, today we are talking beyond just the motivations of missions. That's what we've talked about the last several episodes. Now we're moving into, I guess you could call it the practicalities, kind of. And I want to talk about it in two senses. One is goers, so those who are called to go as missionaries cross-culturally. And we'll spend a few episodes talking about that. And then also we'll have at least one episode talking about sending. So everyone listening to this, if you're a Christian, you're called either to go in the task of missions or to send. So we're starting first with going, and I just wanted to begin with, I guess, the beginning question for those who are going, which is simply, am I called, meaning am I called to go? And Dan rightly wanted me to clarify, we are talking about a missionary call. That is different than the salvific call. So when we talk about the general call of the gospel, hearing the gospel, and then even the effectual call when God takes that gospel and changes someone's heart with it, that is a separate matter than what we're talking about today. That's for every believer. We're using the same language, called, but what we mean by this is the missionary call when God purposes to send someone out to go cross-culturally to bring his gospel. And the question we're asking is, you who are listening, and me and Dan, because we're always open to this, how do you know if God is calling you to go be a missionary? I will say to begin with that some of the incredible stories we hear of God calling missionaries, they are incredible, they are wonderful, and they are good. But they can be a little bit misleading because some of them are very dramatic. And for example, I think of Hudson Taylor. He was a very well-known missionary to China long ago. Hudson Taylor, at 17 years old, he had committed himself already to go to China. So he had just come to Christ. He's committing himself to go to China. He said this later in his life, writing about that event. He said, quote, "Never shall I forget the feeling that came over me then. Words can never describe it. I felt I was in the presence of God, entering into covenant with the Almighty. I felt as though I wished to withdraw my promise but could not. Something seemed to say, your prayer is answered, your conditions are accepted. And from that time, the conviction never left me that I was called to China. It was kind of a moment of surrender where his parents had already prayed, although he didn't know it till later, that he would be dedicated to bring the gospel to China. And he surrendered himself to do it. And by the age of 17, he was confident God was calling him to go to China. So that makes for a very good retelling. However, Dan, help us out here, because not all calls to the mission field are quite as dramatic as that one. So maybe help us understand, someone listening to this, how can they know if they are being called to go as a missionary? What are some of the marks that at least should make them suspect that God may be calling them to go?
I think it's a very important question. And you're absolutely right. It's not something where you're going to be taking a walk and all of a sudden there's a severe thunderstorm and you're going to make this, you know, life-changing commitment. But I think we can find some help in several different ways. There is an inner call. There is a desire that involves, you know, a desire, an inclination. And there are some who would say, never pay attention to that. Never pay attention to what you feel or what you are, you know, happy thinking about. But let's ask these questions. Are you growing your discipleship to Christ? Are you taking pains to grow closer to him in holiness, love, service? Does your heart yearn for the conversion of sinners? Are you actually engaged in sharing the gospel with other races, ethnicities through your local church? Have you taken opportunities to inform your inner calling by traveling overseas on mission trips? Is there a hunger and thirst for knowing God more, his word more? You know, and there are some traits that are really important. And, you know, you have to examine yourself to see if, am I strong in my faith? Do I have a real consistent walk? Not perfect, but is it consistent? Is it moving in the right direction? Is there humility? Am I teachable? Am I willing to learn? Am I open to new things? And will I willingly seek out mentors? Do I have compassion and empathy for the lost? Or am I seeing myself as better than them? You know, some people use the term savior, which is emotionally fraught. Do I have some level of maturity? Am I willing to suffer? Am I willing to even contemplate that? Or am I going to bolt at the first sign of difficulty? Am I physically healthy? Am I transparent and accountable? Am I willing to submit to authority? Am I willing to do the preparation work? Now, that's on the inner side. Now, the outer call, and this is extremely important, I would say at times even more important for verification and authentication of a call from God. There are rare cases of people feeling called, dropping everything, going, but that's not the norm. You know, God has given us community and leadership in our lives to help us assess that call to mission. So your question is probably, how can we move beyond merely an inner sense of calling to missions
you
to an
outer read my mind.
Confirmation of that call? I think I read the question you gave me. I just swept right through, brother.
Hey, you can combine them. Keep going. It's good. They relate, so that's good.
Well, the external or the outer call, it's an affirmation from others that God has called someone to be a missionary, particularly members of the local church. You know, any godly leader, pastor, elder, it should come as no surprise to them, anybody who knows you, when, I mean, if somebody just piped up and said, I want to be a missionary, and, you know, the reaction was, oh, really? Really? Yeah. Have you considered welding? Yeah. You know, the life characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, the willingness to serve in the smallest of capacities must be seen and verified by others, especially within the local church. And consider the providence of God. Are you free from financial debt? We don't want to strap the church with a big student loan on some, you know, some multi, you know, six-figure debt that's going to be a stranglehold. Is your health in good place? You know, does your spouse share your calling? I mean, these are important questions on the external side. And, you know, we have run into people who have said, well, I'm just going to missions. See ya. And it's like, well, hold it. What's the input that we should give such a person? You know, are we obligated to support such a person? Andy Johnson, Capitol Hill Baptist Church, has given a very helpful overview. It's four tiers of support. That example I just gave would be the fourth tier. We're really not going to be involved. That person has made a decision. They're going. The third tier might be an independent worker. They're well qualified, and they involve, you know, the church community and the plan, and they're going to join with other people. But, you know, we might involve ourselves with them on special projects only. That would be tier three. Tier two would be, you know, workers that are within the fellowship. They're counseled, trained, and sent out by the church. You know, financial support. We could involve them in financial support, pastoral support, strategic support, prayer. But one level of individual, a tier one individual, would be someone who has this question about the inner call and someone who is verified by the outer call, that we could come alongside and help and nurture and research and grow with them and actually be a true sending church. That's, I have a great desire for that. I hope that someone listening to us right now through this podcast has that desire and could come to us and let us know of their passion, their ardent interest in that. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like the point that you brought out, Dan, about even a person's own desire. And I wonder, and maybe you can help me with this, because I do wonder, there is sometimes a sense that the missionary call and many of the things God calls us to, there's a sense in which it's certainly from God if I just don't want to do it, you know, like almost like Abraham being told, take Isaac. And we could even think of the missionary call that way. Maybe someone's listening, they're like, I don't want to do missions. I don't have any desire for it. I feel called to this local ministry. I feel called. But maybe that's the sacrifice God wants me to make, the really hard thing. You're bringing in the, that may happen on occasion, but what you're bringing in is the fact that oftentimes God will give us a desire for the ministry that he's called us to. How would you help somebody who is thinking through this and they just don't have the desire to go do missions? Is that sinful on their end? How should they be thinking about that? Maybe they're listening to this feeling very guilty. Because they go, I'm not sure I'm called. I don't really want to, but maybe God's going to make me go even though I don't want to. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, first off, I think that's a wonderful question. And historically, there has been almost a two-tier mentality that has permeated the church. It's almost an encroachment of worldly philosophy that the spiritual is good and holy, and the physical is evil and wicked and should be put off. And that's antagonistic because, you know, we can't have a hierarchy that says, okay, so the greatest person in God's sight is the person who goes in the frontier missions and they are out there going to a people that are violently opposed to any stranger and you could be eaten by cannibals. And then below that is a local church pastor. Then below that, in terms of how we respect people, might be the faithful Sunday school teacher. And may our Lord forbid that you should ever be a lawyer.
Oh, no. Or a welder. That.
Oh, a welder. Oh, my lands. You know, so first off, no, there's no hierarchy in God's calling vocationally that you're going to be greater rewarded if you are out there with cannibals versus taking care of the little ones that God's entrusted to you. Having said that, you know, it is not inappropriate to ask the question, if I'm not called to go overseas, to go to an Indian reservation in North America somewhere, or go to an inner city where the gospel has been absent, what am I doing? What am I doing to further the gospel here in my family, in my neighborhood, in my church, you know? And what can I do to encourage, to pray for, to go visit a missionary, have a missionary in my home and introduce them to the family members. You know, and then ask, am I gifted in this way? Do some self-reflection like we talked about. Do I have the gifts, the desire? Let's get some vindication, some authentication by other people. And I think that'll help with this query.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, because I mean, like you suggested there, there really are two places someone could be coming from if they say, I never want to go be a missionary. Okay, number one, it could just be a sinful thing. It could just be you're not doing anything for the gospel. You want a nice, easy life. And so why would you do missions and throw away your financial security and your safety and all this stuff? That is bad. So we want to clarify, that's a bad reason not to want to go do mission. So if you think, am I called? And you go, I don't want to be called because I want to have this kind of life. That's bad. But we're also, I think, want to free some people up who have that tier mentality of like the hierarchy of top of the line. We do want to hold missionaries in high esteem. But some people, not for sinful reasons, just will not be called to go as missionaries. They will be called to send. We're all involved in missions, but they just will not be called to go. And partly you'll see that because there is not this burning desire that's developing within them to go. There will be for the nations. We love them. Be a part of that. But there's not that gifting. They're not having people outside confirming a call for them saying, I think you should consider missions. They're not having that. They're telling them, maybe you should consider welding, you know? Wonderful. Something different. And that, I don't think people need to feel a great burden of guilt there. That just means you're called to something else, like you said, and there's no shame in that. So we do want to distinguish, and that's part of the role of the church and the Holy Spirit in our lives, to distinguish if you're not planning to go, if you go, I don't think I'm called, is it for sinful reasons? We got to deal with that before the Lord. But it could just be that you are called to something else in God's church.
Amen. And, you know, the wonderful thing about even this very series of podcasts that are being done, even our quarterly emphasis, is that we have a responsibility, a privilege, really, to present this opportunity, this challenge, this perspective that, hey, consider, is the Lord calling you? It's very appropriate. And not to lay on some guilt trip on people, but just say, there's a need, there's a command, there is a call. Are you the recipient of that call? And if so, in what way?
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dan, as always, for helping us think through this. You who are listening, maybe you do fall into that category of the one who does not want to go for sinful reasons, self-protection, finances, a lifestyle, something of that nature. Or on the other hand, maybe you've just not really seriously considered whether God is calling you to missions. You've not thought about what that would even look like. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way. Thank you.